Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Zone Time for this week. I'm Julian, alongside Omar from In The Mentions. Good to see you, buddy. Rahef, tapping in. Haven't seen you in a minute. Good to see you. It's always a pleasure to be with Sam from the broadcast. I have to admit, the start of this week's show, it's pretty packed. It's going to have a lot of stuff, but we do have to start on a bit of a somber note. The NHL community is in mourning at the passing of Eugene Melnyk, the Ottawa Senators owner. And look, Eugene Melnyk, very complicated legacy as a Senators owner. But I think it's just important that we acknowledge his passing and acknowledge the fact that, yes, he did his part in keeping the Ottawa Senators in Ottawa. And there were some great teams under his watch. And he was very much a known figure among NHL fans and media and personalities and all that. So we can't let his passing go unnoticed, but not opposed to anyone acknowledging how complicated his legacy is and how he is in some ways during his time as owner alienated fans and players and other members of the media as well. I humbly encourage everyone to check out Ian Mendes's latest on Eugene Melnyk, where he explains his legacy. I think Ian, probably there's no better person from Ottawa to properly write about Eugene than Ian Mendes. But from as an outsider, obviously being in Montreal, just Eugene Melnyk just being in the headlines the way that he was, always thought he was a bit of an interesting figure to watch. And it's a bit of a sad time regardless that he is no longer with us. And I'll open the floor to everyone if they want to say something. It's not something we have to spend a lot of time on, but if anyone has any comments on him being gone, the floor is yours, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see some comments from Pierre Dorion earlier today, and apparently he was in tears while saying this, and he's, you know, kind of talking about how important, Eugene Melnyk was to the organization and kind of had a, you know, I guess, a inspiring, I guess, promise or goal that they're going to bring us down the cup to Ottawa at some point. As you mentioned, it is a complicated legacy. It's a complicated history for sure. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he did do a lot of things for the organization, for the team, and, you know, loss of life in any way, shape or form is always sad as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just echo that. And I guess give my condolences to, you know, his family and, you know, everybody that, you know, is close to Eugene Melnyk. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say as well.
With that, we will start off with some of the other things we want to talk about on Zone Time. Pierre Dorion mentioning his comments from Florida, I should mention, because all the NHL's general managers are in sunny Florida while the rest of us are in our respective Canadian bedrooms or wherever we're doing our podcast, still in the cold, trying to warm up just a little bit here. But the GMs get to all meet with each other and discuss GM stuff, maybe even propose a few rules. What about the salary cap? Should we have it in the playoffs? What about how we're going to handle no trade clauses going forward? And did you guys hear Team North America is dead? The next World Cup is not going to have Team North America. It had me thinking, if we were all general managers, one, maybe the teams we would all want to be in charge of would be better, maybe worse. But if we were allowed to be at these GM meetings, if you had the power to propose a rule, what rule would you suggest to everyone there? I know someone has a rule that annoys, like for me, the first thing I'm doing We're getting rid of that goddamn offside review.
Yes.
We're getting rid of that shit. I'm tired of it.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm tired of watching games where a goal happens and it gets called off because of some offside that happened 5 minutes earlier.
Yep. That's brutal. Freaking Matthew Shane, man, ruined everything.
I could write a book, a thesis about how I think the NHL needs to institute a luxury salary cap and do away with the hard cap system.
We would all read it.
I could give lectures about this. I think the NHL, especially now, as they really are struggling, you know, with COVID and the pandemic and how that's affected the salary cap. You see teams like Arizona literally dying out. And then you see teams like the Leafs, teams like the Canadians, who if they were given the chance to institute a luxury, you know, to participate in something like a luxury tax, they would jump on it so quickly. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we don't have to resort to these stupid LTIR shenanigans with the cap that you see teams like Tampa do. And we don't have to have that stupid discourse, you know, speak about that for like a month. And now, you know, the GMs are trying to institute a salary cap in the playoffs. No, you know, the solution to that would just be, let's talk about a luxury tax. I think it's time for the NHL to consider that seriously.
Let's put that into existence. Let's do it. Let's do it. Rahef, you are right. Anyone else with any rules or any grievances they want to bring up? Now is the time to do it.
I have one that's kind of... I think we should go back to a 2-minute penalty being a major. So
what?
You score one, keep going. Keep going.
On my list too.
I know that that's how the NHL used to be, but then they changed it because the Habs power play was disgusting. And they would just light teams up, go back. Goaltending's improved. Let's go back. 2 minutes, you score one. Keep going for the remaining 2 minutes, because I think like we keep talking about officiating and stuff, right? You know, officiating, the, you know, refs don't call this, refs don't call that. And we're going to talk about refs later on.
It's the best in the world, Omar. There's nothing wrong with officiating in the NHL.
Yeah, sure. Do you see what Kyle Dubas said when they asked him? He laughed. Kyle Dubas, the old bus.
That was my favorite reaction. It was amazing.
I think if you make the I guess the consequences of taking a penalty more severe, then I think that in a way can maybe deter players from doing stupid stuff. Like, players are always going to do things because there's like a 1 in 9 chance they're going to be called for something. Yeah, a player will get called for like tripping or hooking or slashing, but by no means is that the only time it's happened during the game. This is the only time they got caught for it. So if you make the consequence for taking a penalty more severe, if you take a penalty and the top plot power play of a team stays on the ice for 2 minutes straight, imagine taking a penalty against Colorado. Yeah, sure, have fun, go do that. The coach would lose their mind. like literally, right? So I think that would be a fun. I don't think they'd ever do that, but like, I would love to see that. Just go back to, you take a penalty, you're on there for the full 2 minutes. If you score 5 goals, whatever, it keeps going on until the clock runs out.
Well, how do you feel?
But do you know what I would be scared about something like that? I do not trust the refs. They would never call anything, ever. They would never call a penalty. Like, let's say, you know, like you're in the playoffs, okay? It's a game 7. There's like 10 minutes left. Game is tied.
Oh my God, you're so right.
And somebody slashes this shit out of somebody else.
You're so right.
They already don't call it.
You're so right.
The whistles kind of go away.
It's just going to be so much worse. I don't trust the refs. They already don't want to influence the game. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't want to influence the game. So I'm going to watch a player be interfered with that will prevent them from making a defensive play. Then the other team scores. Oh, but you know what? It's cool. We did our job. We didn't interfere with the game. Freaking, oh my God. Anyway.
Tam, what about
you? This leads me into my rule change, which is make referees available after every game.
Yes.
If you call the game, you have to be available.
Yes.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's my rule. I don't understand.
Major League Soccer has this option.
It should happen. It, like, if you're going to make a call or you're going to not make a call, you should be able to explain concisely and rationally why that happened or didn't happen.
Yeah, the first people I'm calling, let's go back to that Boston Bruins Toronto Maple Leafs game when Nazem Kadri
was
the first. I want them on trial. On trial.
No, listen. Rehef is absolutely right. It's refs like that that make the game dangerous, man. They lost control. Then at that point, players just doing whatever because, like, the refs thinking, oh, man, well, I let that go, so I guess I can't call that. And then the other players are like, okay, well, I guess we can just do these things. And then the other players get mad and they start doing things worse. Like, it's refs like that. I think, was it Brad Meyer? I feel like that name stands out. It might have been. I don't know. But like, it's refs like that that make the game dangerous. So 1,000%. Throw them up. Go speak.
You know, this reminds me. Did you guys see that the NHL is having an Ask Me Anything with Wes McCauley on Thursday on Reddit?
Dumbest idea ever.
You think it's a dumb idea?
I love 1,000%. I mean, I love Wes McCauley, so I think it's going to be great.
Why is it dumb? Because every
question is going to be deleted.
You think you're going to do that?
1,000%. 1,000%. Because if it's me, I have one question. That's it. One question.
Go off.
Why? One word. That's it. Why? That's it. Why? Either that, or what is your purpose? That's it.
Honestly, I just want to just ask, please explain goaltender interference and just watch Wes just stammer for 5 minutes and not have any idea how to explain it.
I hope he does, because you know what? I'm going to clip the hell out of it. And then anytime we see goaltender interference,
that's what I would do too.
Quote tweet every single time I see it. This is what the ref said. This is what the star ref of the league defined goaltender interference. So what the heck is, if I'm Brendan Gallagher, I am watching that AMA. Yes. I am watching that so hard. If I'm Nazem Kadri, I'm watching that. If I'm Connor McDavid, if I'm Leon Draisaitl, if I'm any star player that always has these things, these infractions done against them and they don't draw any penalties, Austin Matthews, I'm watching that. I'm watching that with a microscope and just popcorn. Just like, okay, cool. Screen grabbing everything. And then when suspensions come up, no qualms. I would bring up the clip 100%. Oh, this is from Reddit. What's your point? 100%. Yeah, I understand that.
It's a guy in the league. That's the problem. See, if they did this and they had like Tim Peel, who doesn't ref games anymore, if he did this, like, at the very least, the NHL could be like, well, he doesn't ref anymore. He got caught on that one hot mic that one time. Shout out to Tim Peel, by the way, like, not being afraid of, like, making podcast appearances after that and, like, being asked questions about the NHL and just being honest. That's just my sense of Tim Peel, so I'll give him that. But at the same time, like...
Is he being honest, though?
I mean, I guess he's...
Because I saw some
tweet from this week?
I saw some things where he's...
I
did
not see a tweet.
I remember reading and rolling my eyes.
I've seen Tim Peel like on Twitter say things like, "Oh, well, don't worry, the calls will even themselves out at the end." That's not the point, Timothy.
Say, Wes McCauley, my question to you is, please explain to me the philosophy behind the makeup call. Explain to me how it makes sense. Explain to me why the NHL participates in the makeup call. Why must things even themselves out in the end? Yeah. Is that actually the way that, you know, infractions in the rules work? I don't think so. So I'm a little bit curious. Why is that the case? Why do penalties that are taken and drawn follow a linear fashion for teams? Why is that the case? Why?
Yeah, it's literally just like ref officiating philosophy is you believe that you don't want to directly impact the game. Please explain why you all are liars.
Please ask that in that exact wording.
Just explain why are you lying? Why, man? Like, God.
Okay, so Tim Peel's tweet was like, 1 year ago today, I made a major mistake. I chose the wrong words and paid a severe price. Everything I have is because of the National Hockey League. Gary Bettman and Bill Daly were incredible to me over my career.
Hey, look, someone had to give him a job, right?
But yeah, so how honest is he being?
That's fair. That's fair. Maybe I shouldn't have been so lavish with praise with Tim Peel. He is a referee after all. I mean, they are human, but they do make mistakes.
I will say, I think this is going to go one of two ways. Like, it's interesting that Wes McCauley is doing it because he's, I think, probably the only ref that's mostly universally liked. Mm. And he's super entertaining, so he's going to be articulate, but either it's going to be what Omar said, where everything he says is what people want to hear, and it just gets clipped for eternity in relation to every single call, or he somehow ruins his stellar reputation with fans on this. And yeah, I have no idea why he would take that risk, but yeah, I'm here for it.
I'll take it one step further to the rule you wanted introduced, Sam. How, if I was a general manager and I saw that Wes McCauley was doing fans on Reddit, not only would I jump in, I would go to Gary Bettman and be like, well, why is he able to do that with random fans on a Thursday? But if a call goes wrong after a game, I can't ask him that question. My coach can't ask him.
32 burner accounts on this.
I was just about to say, there's going to be like a burner account made with like a paragraph. Like on January 6th at the third period and the second minute, you did not call this. Why?
Like, why?
It's going to be like, that's oddly specific.
Like, I think this opens the door for, like, I don't know, this is like a weird slippery slope. If like, if a ref is willing to go on the internet and answer ask me anythings, you know, what's the point? You know what it would also piss me off about this? Mm-hmm. If, to your point, Omar, about there would be a lot of deleted questions, if that AMA, they end up, okay, like, we're not going to answer any officiating questions. It's just going to be random, you know,
cutesy,
fun
like, stuff.
Yeah.
Cutesy,
yeah,
like,
fun. Yeah. What made you want to get into reffing? Who's the best player to work with?
Yeah. How does it feel
to ref a Stanley Cup playoff game? Like a bunch of that.
Why'd you make everything so epic?
Yeah. Why did you decide to do the pose? That's going to be a fake question. Someone who's like running, that's going to be a fake question. If they have like 20 questions in a row that are bad, someone's going to throw in like a, explain why you did the fighting pose thing. And they'd be like, oh, that's a great question, Steve Johnson, 1, 2, 3. Like, it's just like, oh, like it's either they're going to be that or they're going to do what I think is worse, where they're going to answer questions, or he's going to answer questions in hockey speak. You know what I mean? The whole cliches. Like, well, you know what? Ideally, when we're out there, you know, we really try to see everything, but you know, sometimes we miss things, and you know, obviously it's very important, and we don't want to impact the game. But you know what? We're all working as a team. You know, I have, you know, myself and the other refereeing person and the linesman, we're all trying to do the right thing. And sometimes you miss calls, but it's okay. All right. So, but how come you all don't call things sometimes? Well, you know, the game happens so fast, you know, in a human error. You don't even know what I'm saying? That's why I don't want to happen, where it's just like a bunch of just like hockey gibberish. And we're just listening to Connor McDavid in an officiating sweater just answer questions. Like, if we're going to do this AMA thing, like, let's make it legitimate. I don't think that's going to happen because, again, like, if players get severely fined, and I think Gary Bettman like emphasized at the meetings, like, people will be severely fined for criticizing officiating. So I do not believe for a second they're truly going to honor this AMA. I think it's just going to be like a cutesy, hey, talk about funny things. How's Brad Marchand like in real life? Like, and all that stuff.
And this is why, like, part of me wishes that people like Kyle Davis, you know, when they're actually really angry about the officiating, would just come out and like say something plainly.
We'll make it go funny.
Eat the fine and like vent, because I know you want to vent and I know you're pissed off. And like, I just wonder what happens behind closed doors. Like, how does that work? Like, how many times is Kyle Davis picking up the phone and like calling Gary Bettman about this, or like complaining about the officiating behind closed doors? Like, I'm really curious about that.
If your GM just picked up the phone or just went on media one day and just said, okay, this is some BS with this call, and incurs a fine, let's say it's like a $15,000 fine, how much money are you contributing to ensure that fine is paid?
Absolutely nothing. I am student debt.
You can't be out here saying, hey, these GMs got to eat the fine, and they'll be all like, hey, man, you know, that's on you to pay.
Rich man.
God.
He can pay the fine, and I will support him in spirit and on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Twitter, I will be his biggest fan.
Yo, there is one game where, like, Sheldon Keefe, I would have had every right. And, like, no joke, if a GoFundMe, like, went out to pay the fine, I would have 100% put, like, $10 max towards it.
You know, Sam, would you put any money towards Patrick Alwyn?
No, because he probably makes way more money than I do. He can afford it.
I mean, yeah, that's true. That's
this is
true.
This is why I think Rod Brindamore has no problem going out and taking the $25,000 fines because he made so much money over his NHL career. He's just like, I'm going to say whatever I want about the refs. It's fine. Yeah.
That's it. Like, having a player coach is a great way to get around fines. They've made millions of dollars anyway. What's 25 grand? Mm-hmm.
I see yelling at them on the ice anyway.
It's
no big deal.
That's it. You know what? I see the vision. I understand. But yeah, anyway, to kind of put a bow on this topic, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Wes McCauley didn't take any serious questions. Maybe he'll answer about, what was that call he did like 6 years ago? I think it's the anniversary this week. I think it was like San Jose and LA where like he like rules it as a goal and like takes a moment and then does the epic, like, I think you mentioned it earlier, Omar, the pose.
Yeah, and the fighting, like, we got a goal. Or like the whole like
for fighting. Yeah. How do you feel about the fact that Wes McCauley is one of the most recognizable personalities in the NHL? Like, last week we put up a poll and talked about how Connor McDavid's not a celebrity. Like, one of the most marketable people the NHL could put up is a ref.
It's depressing, to answer your question. If you're sad, and then you wonder why the NHL is like the lowest of the like major league sports like leagues in North America. That is the reason. The NHL's most marketable player by far is Austin Matthews. I don't even think it's even close at this point. And it's sad that there's nobody else like him.
Yeah. But let's not let Justin Bieber around the team and design a jersey. That's bad. The salary cap went up by 1 million, and that's it.
Unpopular opinion on this particular panel, but I don't even think Austin Matthews is that interesting. Like,
I'm with Sam. Me too. No, I agree on that.
Objectively, I can say that. Yeah. Cause like when he does his interviews, he just does like this. He does the same stuff. He does like the same hockey stuff.
He does come out and do things sometimes in interviews where he'll do something funny or he'll have like a super cheeky response. I think he does try to show his personality. Yeah. But it's not comparable to like literally take anybody from the NBA, for example. Like, there's no comparison.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
He has a mustache.
Yeah. Yeah,
he has a mustache and he looks like someone who, if I was walking around Montreal, I'd be like, okay, he hangs on the plateau or something. Or I don't know what's a very hipster.
Like, watching some of the Leafs TV stuff, I find like William Nylander more entertaining than Austin Matthews.
He doesn't care.
I know, but that's what you need. I want somebody who gives no
shits. William Nylander is just no thoughts, head empty.
But it's give me that.
Are you saying that William Nylander is a himbo?
William Nylander is the himbo.
Yeah, I'm with
Rahab. Oh my God.
Number
That's
one
the best
himbo.
Way to describe someone. No, okay.
No thoughts so set empty.
That's you've so funny. Here.
I didn't realize this, but William Nylander is the himbo of the National Hockey
League. Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm glad we were
able to. Why do you think he survives in this market?
It's true.
Because William Nylander that's so does true. Not care.
That's
he
so
does
true.
Not care.
But that's how somebody becomes marketable, care. Right? Like, yeah. That's a marketer's dream, is somebody who does not care and will say whatever and do whatever because it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys would go through an AMA on Reddit with William Nylander? You'd
I love William Nylander.
I would 100%.
Pass me the puck, William Nylander. Yeah, that is his Twitter bio for like 10 years. Pass me the puck, smiley face. Ew, he's so embarrassing. I love him.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I'm glad we were able to talk about the AMAs on Reddit. And I expect to see questions from all of you when it comes time to ask what Wes McCauley about officiating. I'll end with this weird topic that was kind of percolating in my mind a little bit. It's always fun to just kind of pull up some random stat or fact, you know, just about any sport or anything you just kind of know. I was just curious if you guys have any weird stats or facts that you love to just kind of bring up with your homies when you're talking hockey. Like, it could be an advanced stat. It could be like a weird hockey history fact. It could be anything. Like, is there something you just love to pull out and just be like, hey, I know this thing and it's a fucking weird thing. Sorry for swearing. I said the F word, but we can bleep that out. Sorry.
Omar's I have one. A deep
okay, Raf.
I have one. Okay. On December 10th, 2017. Okay.
Okay.
Oh boy.
It's a very specific date.
Yeah.
Six players combined were alive on Earth for 56,381 days.
Oh, no, no, I know what you're referencing. I know what you're referencing. I think Carey I know what you're referencing.
Price. Put up the graphic, please. Carey Price, Mark Shifley, Sidney Crosby, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Steven Stamkos, together combined. On December 10th, 2017, we're alive for a combined 56,381 days. And it is my favorite stat in the entire world.
They put that do you remember when sports they put that graphic up?
It's my favorite thing. It was my favorite thing.
Oh, that was actually really good. Well, what was the point of that graphic?
The point, you know, it's just, I don't know.
No one knows. Congratulations, you're alive.
Oh my God, it's just like
there are
so, like, I can't name any specifically because there's so many. I'm gonna explain why there are so many. Because I think if we could like take a tally of like my most used lines, probably at the definitely top three is the line that the Leafs just can't lose. You know why? Because every time the Leafs lose, I always look at Sportsnet stats and I just wait for it. And it always comes up. This is the first time a team did blank and blank and so on and so forth. So for me, my favorite and most painful stat, I'll never forget this. This is what solidified the pain behind the first game seven. It was bad enough just watching the first game.
Oh boy.
I looked on the news. They talked about it afterwards. I was watching CP24 and the anchor said, this is the first time in NHL history where a team battled back 3-1 into a series, went up 4-1 and then blew a lead with less than 10 minutes and lost in overtime. That entire blurb was said on the news. I got up and walked out of my house and just kept walking.
It was literally like that scene.
It's like, you know that scene in Forrest Gump when Jenny leaves, and he just like leaves his house and starts, like, that was like, I got up and I just walked out and just kept walking. I was like, that is so unnecessarily specific. made it worse.
That's pain, bro. That's nine years. Are you going to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of 2013?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's next year, bro.
Yo, if they don't win a series this year, man, that's going to be
so old.
That's going to be
our lines of thinking are so different.
Sam is shaking her head like, are you serious?
I got nothing. I'm not making any age jokes on this podcast.
Yeah, no. We don't want Vanessa coming in here being all like, oh, you show your ID.
I don't say anything. It just like comes out of nowhere. Every so often she just pops up. She's like, you're old. I'm like, I literally did nothing so to deserve mean. This.
It's so mean. I don't know, man. Like, I don't think you deserve any of that crap from Vanessa. Just like violence on the timeline over age. Like, congratulations, you're another year older, whatever. Who cares, Vanessa? Anyway, the one fact I always like to bring up is that Joel Edmondson is the only player who played against the Leafs in the Zamboni driver game and was also with the Canadians when the Leafs blew a 3-1 series lead. Joel Edmondson was on the winning side of two of the most embarrassing Leafs losses in team history.
Is that your favorite fact in general, or just your favorite fact that you saved just for this specific episode with Rahab and Omar?
I think a little bit of both.
I was like, that's definitely both.
Thank you.
Is, I remember like in reference to the Zamboni game, I remember it became a thing on Leafs Twitter where like anytime Pierre Engvall would score, the Leafs would like lose in like a horrible fashion. Mm-hmm. So like if you're watching a game and Engvall scored, everyone would be like, oh god, here it comes.
It's coming. Yep. Yeah, the music. Like
yeah. It doesn't happen anymore. Engvall's been solid, but like I remember there was a long time where anytime Engvall would score, we'd be like, oh god, here it comes. Here it comes. Where is it?
I have another one.
Yes, please.
Brett Lebda was a minor three.
Oh yeah, that's
in a game where the Leafs won 9-3.
How?
I don't know how.
My favorite. It's amazing. It's
and that kind of got rejuvenated a little bit with Dreisaitl on the 9-5 game, right? He was like minus four, but he got a hat trick or something.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Unreal.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I don't have one in particular. Like they kind of just, they have to happen in the moment.
Yeah.
But also I feel like most of my random fun facts that I like are not actually related to stats at all. Like
they're just like bad. I just haven't,
when you say Joel Edmondson, the first thing I think is, oh, he was wearing a crop top after he won the Stanley Cup. Or like the other day.
Never forget that. Yes. Yeah.
Someone brought up Andrew Cogliano. I was like, oh, Andrew Cogliano is married to Dan Bertram's sister, who the Vancouver Giants took second overall behind Gilbert Roulette. Like just random things like that. Like that's what I go with. I don't stick with stats.
You know what's funny now, that makes me, of course, just vibes. That makes me think of like draft picks who are like taken, you know, well ahead. Like remember that one year the Bruins could have had like Thomas Chabot and like all these guys like that. Where's the guy? That's a tweet we should have brought up last week. Like holy shit, the Bruins could get all these players here, and they ended up with like I do not want to envision
a world in which the Bruins actually did that. Like it's bad enough they're good right now and they've been good for too long.
Every team has like it's so funny, like every team like has their own like oh we could have drafted this person story, so like it sucks to bring things up and like and you know and poke fun at every team because you know every team has those stories.
But what's the draft class for the Leafs?
Griffin Reinhardt.
Oof,
that was a tough one. That was a Peter Shirelli trade. No.
I think that might have been. Peter Shirelli has done so much bad stuff. We could easily just attribute almost any bad trade to Peter Shirelli.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Harvard graduate, Peter Shirelli. Yeah. I was about to ask, like, what draft class for the Canadiens fans? They're haunted by the 03 class. I don't think the Leafs had a first round pick in that class.
Wouldn't be
surprised. What draft class for Toronto Maple Leafs fans is it like? Oh, we picked the wrong guy.
This is gonna sound wild. And Rahef, I think you might be on the same wavelength as me here. The 2016 draft was brutal.
Matthews
was sick. Then everyone else, brutal. Could have got the
actually, can I say something controversial?
Of course you can. This is the show to do it.
What was the draft that we traded down and got Dermott and was it Bracco?
2015, yeah.
Okay, I think now when you reevaluate maybe that like trade down, maybe you can reevaluate that also and be like, was that really the smartest was that really the smartest thing to have done, trade down for Bracco and Dermott, knowing what we know now?
Yeah.
But yeah, the 2016 one was brutal. That was brutal.
Back hey, you got Mitch Marner out of it.
Hunter.
I have a hard time deciding between taking Jake Virtanen ahead of William Nylander and Nick Ehlers.
Yo, that was so sick. Yo, that was
I'm so happy you did that.
I was so happy.
Personally, as a William Nylander fan. Yeah.
I'm sure.
I was so happy. I literally screwed. I was like, because I was like, man, we're going to freaking take Nick Ritchie. I was like, no, no. I was so happy that happened.
The Nick Ritchie stuff man. Came full circle. It's just beautiful.
And it's like, was that worse or was... like not even I remember Matt Tkachuk saying he knew the Canucks weren't going to take him because he was like they made it clear in the interview that they were not interested, and then they took
Yo Levy. We forgot about that because Tkachuk went sixth, right? And Vancouver was fourth. I completely forgot about that.
And where's Olli Yo Levy now? Detroit. Or you played five games in Detroit.
You got traded?
I don't even know.
When did that happen?
He's in this year.
Yeah, he's in Detroit. He played five games in Detroit. I don't know if he's actually playing or not. 2016 NHL draft. That was the draft, I think. There were like rumors the Canadians were going to trade Subban to go up to try to get Pierre-Luc Dubois. And then they ended up flipping him for Shea Weber.
Mm.
There were rumors along those lines. I might not have the exact trade right. And I think the Canadians ended up taking
a bad draft class. I think just in general, like I think after it's like Matthews, Laine, there's Dubois. Who else really is there? It wasn't a great draft class.
Mikhail Sergachev. The Canadians took Mikhail Sergachev at number 9, who got flipped for Drouin. Jonathan Drouin.
Yeah.
And that move didn't really work out well.
But what do Habs fans think about the 2018 draft though? Because I remember like ahead of that, like there was a whole like, because I remember Kotkaniemi was originally, I think ranked like fifth or sixth. And then like, as like May and June turned around, then like Bob McKenzie were like, oh, you know, he could go third. Right. So, and I remember before it was between like Kotkaniemi or like Brady Tkachuk or like Phillips Zadina was around as well.
For context for 2018. So number one, Rasmus Dahlin. Number two, Andrei Sveshnikov. Jesperi Kotkaniemi goes three. Here are some players who went after Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Brady Tkachuk at four, Barrett Hayton in Arizona at five, Phillips Zadina at six, Quinn Hughes. Sam knows a thing about Quinn Hughes at seven. Vitaly Kravtsov to the Rangers at 9, Evan Bouchard at 10, Joel Farabee went after, Keandre Miller much later on in the first round, Joe Valeno, a couple good guys, but the Canadians also got Jesse Ullin and Alexander Romanov later on, and there were a few other guys that were there, but I think the consensus out of that is that, I mean, I think a lot more people were mad that they didn't develop Kotkaniemi properly. I still think Kotkaniemi should have been a rookie like this year. They shouldn't have rushed him, but I think the Canadians probably could have used Quinn Hughes. Actually, there was an article I read, and I think Marc-Antoine Godin wrote it, and there was like some scout that they were talking to, or they heard something about how they didn't like Quinn Hughes because he was a small defenseman and they already had Victor Mete in their system.
That's a wild take. You're comparing Victor Mete to Quinn Hughes. That's an asinine comparison.
It's asinine, acetate, acetylene, and acetylene.
Woo!
But anyway, we can do an entire episode on draft picks missed, and maybe that might actually be an episode worth doing, where we get everyone from our respective markets to go in on all the great players they could have missed. I'm going to save that as an idea.
Right before the draft.
Yeah,
that is a beautiful idea. Let's do it before the draft. I'm writing that idea down, Sam. Sam, Rahef, Omar, thanks as always for being on Zone Time this week. Thank you listening or watching or wherever you listen to this great show for doing as you do. Please subscribe to the Yahoo Sports NHL YouTube page. Subscribe to the Zone Time podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And Sam, why are you laughing?
My child is crying.
Oh no.
Shout out to Baby Sloan.
Okay, go take care of Baby Sloan. We got you. Don't worry about it. Okay, at the very least. For everyone, I'm Julian saying so long. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Zone Time. Crying babies and all.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.